Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On this episode of Franchise Euphoria, thrilled to welcome Hansel Lin. Hansel Lin is the founder and CEO of a franchise called The Coder School. The Coder School is a place where kids learn to code all year round. And as of March, all kids are learning remote as well. Founded in 2014 and headquartered in Silicon Valley, The Coder School combines a super small teaching ratio with an individualized immersion style to get your kids learning to code in no time. They don't believe in kids being taught by software, and they don't like one-size-fits-all curriculums. Instead, they focus on a mentor relationship with experienced coders, code coaches, who can guide the students through their technical journey. Hansel himself has worked at various high-tech companies, ranging from Nuance Communications, the people behind Siri, and Accenture, the people behind 100-hour work weeks, and graduated from Washington University in St. Louis with a computer science degree. He's fluent in Cantonese, can fake it in Mandarin, and is an avid endurance athlete. He brings a ton of energy, tons of passion, and really enjoyed this interview with Hansel Lin. Hello, Hansel. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Josh? Appreciate you having me on.
Doing great. Making it through these COVID-19 days. Always some uncertainty, which I'm sure we'll get to later on in the interview. But thrilled to have you come on, talk about The Coder School. It is very timely, given the remote nature of schooling and how people are doing school and working these days. But before we dive into that, give a little bit of background on you, and I believe you have a business partner, and how you guys came up with the concept.
Yeah, of course. So I do have a business partner. His name is Wayne. He and I are kind of running the show so far. We started this thing about 5 years ago. And we started out here in Silicon Valley. You know, both our backgrounds are in computer science. We used to be developers in the tech world, corporate world, all that kind of stuff. One day I was trying to get my daughter to learn some coding online. And she got through it really fast. And I thought, wow, hey, maybe she's like a natural coder, you know, kind of following daddy's footsteps kind of thing. And I asked her about it, and turns out she was like, I didn't learn anything at all. I just kind of clicked all the way through just to get to the end, you know? And that's when I realized that online learning is so hard for kids. You know, when you don't have somebody sitting next to you and really just sort of guiding you as sort of a passionate, you know, mentor. So that's kind of where the idea kind of came up. And I thought, you know, here in Silicon Valley at that time, there wasn't a lot of options for kids learning to code. So I thought, why not come up with a model where we have a mentor? We call them code coaches. And these code coaches sit right down next to a kid and they're like, hey, let's code something together, and I'll teach you how to do it, and I'll bring the passion of it out from you and out from me, and together we'll kind of, you know, do this journey together. So that's how it started about 5 years ago, you know, and we've been franchising for a few years since, and that's how we got to where we are today.
Well, so how cliche and appropriate that it all started, the coding school started in Silicon Valley,
of all places. Only place to do it, right?
So, okay, so you and your partner, you've got this idea, right? And you worked with your daughter, and now you start saying, okay, there's got to be, maybe there's a business model to this. What do you then do to take it from the idea stage, which, you know, a lot of people have ideas, but then take it from idea to implementation?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of us probably did something similar, which is, you know, we checked with our friends and family first. You know, I kind of just tossed the idea around to a number of folks who, you know, being in Silicon Valley, everybody here knows what coding is about and knows why technology is our future. And the fact that there wasn't really great places to learn technology at the time for kids is just so obvious, I suppose, to me at the time. One other sort of nugget that I'll throw out there is at the time I had already quit my corporate job in the corporate world and went out to be a franchisee myself of a place called School of Rock. So I don't know if you ever heard of School of Rock, but they, you know, music education for kids. And so that's where I got my feet wet in terms of having a brick and mortar, teaching kids something. And just that experience, you know, the ability to, you know, get kids into a brick and mortar place, teach them something, you know, schedule, talk to parents, all that stuff. That experience was huge. I took that experience and kind of combined it with my tech background, you know, from before. I almost just knew it would work. It was just one of those lucky things where I had the best experience of the School of Rock as well as my tech background. I was like, and here I am in Silicon Valley, you know, where there isn't a lot of, you know, teaching of kids the code at the time. And I was just like, if this doesn't work, I don't know what will.
So break it down. How does it work? I mean, talk to me. I mean, we're on an audio podcast, so there's no video to be able to show. So tell me how this works. You know, if I sign up for my kids, you know, I have three daughters. If I sign up one of my kids for the coder school, walk me through the process.
Sure. So I'll walk you through the original process, and then I'll talk a little bit about how it changed in the coronavirus days. So the original process is, you know, you contact one of our locations. It's very much in-person type of teaching, right? We want the passion of the code coach, you know, sitting right next to the kid, high-fiving the kid, all that kind of stuff. That was the original model. We had kind of this, you know, coding clubhouse feel. It felt like you went to this startup for kids, you know, a bunch of other kids coding stuff. So you know, you contact the location. The location says, hey, come on in for a trial. We kind of show you what it's about. We make a simple app with you, see if your kid likes it. And then if so, you know, you sign up. And then it's a once a week process where you sit down next to the code coach and they kind of teach you how to make some kind of application. And, you know, we have this kind of learn by doing style as opposed to a curriculum. We kind of say, you know, hey, Josh, I know you like to play golf a lot. You know, I saw that on your website. And so, you know, hey, Josh, let's make a golfing game, you know, so something to really suck you in, so to speak, engage you. That's our high level. That's how we work.
Mixing passion with learning, right?
Yeah, because, you know, if you have kids, and anybody out there who has kids, you would know kids don't learn unless they want to learn, right? If you try to force them to learn something that they're not interested in or engaged in, then it gets really hard, right? So that's why we feel that engagement's so important.
What's the age group? I mean, who's this for? I mean, what age levels?
It's anywhere from about age 7 or so to 18.
When you first launched this, did you have the idea that you were going to franchise this from the outset, or did that come along a little bit later?
I did not, actually. I was just doing one location, and then I brought my buddy Wayne in, and he did his one location. And we honestly, we didn't really know what we were going to do at the time. We just thought, let's just do it, you know, for our community, see how it goes. And then later on, it became clear to us that, you know, this is the kind of business that's very much community oriented, passion oriented. So a lot of our marketing is grassroots, you know, go out there, meet the principals, meet the moms, meet the small businesses, all that kind of stuff. And we realized that really the best way to do that is to have passionate owners, you know, running these locations. You know, if we owned 5, 10, 15 locations ourselves, I think that passion just kind of gets diluted. Whereas if an owner comes in, you know, it's their business, their baby, you know, their next baby, and they get in there and they run it. And so I think that's what really contributed to the success is the, you know, passion of the franchisees.
Well, and so when you first, I mean, when it was first, you know, you and Wayne and you're running these two locations, were you guys the code coaches yourselves, or did you bring others on? And talk about that component of it, because I think that's a really important piece, is that you're going to have people who, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, they're trained and certified in some manner, you know, to do this. So where do you find these people? How do you train them? I assume it's a proprietary type training process, but talk a little bit about the whole code coaching aspect.
Yeah, sure. Certainly, Wayne and I did do a lot of coaching in the beginning. I think mostly just so we get our feet wet and we understand what the product is, you know, that we're offering. And also that both of us are coders, so we're able to do it. And I think we knew from the outset, though, that we would hire code coaches. It was never going to be, you know, Wayne and I are going to be the teachers. The key back then and now is that you have a team of very sort of disparate skills in your staff. So you have some who are younger, you know, let's say they're in college with a CS major, you know, who are more sort of fun, but maybe they don't know as much about coding, all the way up to somebody who's working at Google currently, who wants to give back to the community and wants to give a couple hours to teach a little bit. You know, they obviously know a lot about everything. And so they kind of have a different skill set that they come in with. So in terms of the way we find these people, I mean, to be honest, it's just Craigslist and, you know, just kind of, it's pretty easy. There's a lot of coders out there, you'd be surprised, that are willing to give back to the community.
But like, are these side hustles for the coders? Like, I mean, these code coaches, are they working for the coder school and then maybe they have, you know, another job or two other jobs or three other companies they work for?
Yeah, it can be. So for example, a lot of the students we have are still going to school, and then they come give us hours, you know, after their school. So it's kind of like a combination. So the guy who works at Google, same way. However, we do have some folks who are just, hey, listen, this is all I want to do. I don't want to wake up until 2 o'clock, you know, because I don't start teaching till three. And all I want to do is teach from, you know, 3 to 8. And so they just spend a ton of hours with us. So we have a very sort of mixed team that sort of runs the gamut in terms of the type of person.
You know, you bring up a good point. You know, I mean, the hours for the coder school have to be like from noon on or something like that, right? I mean, in order to get
Kids are in school otherwise, right? Yeah.
So talk to me about the franchising component. You guys decide to franchise. Obviously, you figure out that it needs to be more than just the two of you, and finding other people who can come in and run these things would be advantageous. Is it a brick and mortar? I mean, is there a retail component, or is it a home-based franchise?
Yeah, no, it's definitely brick and mortar. That is our philosophy. We want to, you know, when we can get back out of this coronavirus stuff, we want to be able to look kids in the eye, and we want to, you know, that's where the connection is.
So they're coming in. They're coming into a place. Okay.
They're coming in. Yeah, it's about that human connection. You know, we want the kids to be friends, you know, almost with the code coaches to have that mentor relationship.
So tell me about that, because when I first was looking into it and knew you were coming on, I'm thinking, oh, the coder school. In my head, I'm just sort of thinking this is sort of an online type component to it. But I mean, do they come in every time for every session, or is there a way for them to hop on, you know, their computer at home and you have, I mean, is it a combination of both?
Well, there is now.
I'm sure there is now.
So actually, before this coronavirus thing happened, we actually said, as a franchisor, we actually said, hey, look, we don't allow remote coaching. And our philosophy at the time is the only way you can really get to know a kid and really get that relationship going is to be in person and be able to just really be there, look him in the eye, right? That's, you know, when you do a remote, sometimes it's you don't get that same amount of attention. So we really wanted to get those guys in person, right? So, you know, since the coronavirus thing happened, what we did is we decided to roll out the remote method. And so what we found is it was better than we thought. Kids are paying attention a lot more than we thought. And what we're probably going to do going forward once this is over is we're going to offer some kind of hybrid approach, right? So some kids are able to do a little bit of sort of either, whatever fits their schedule. Some kids who are farther away from our location might be able to dial in, you know, to a coach that's, you know, whatever, 100 miles away. So I think that's one positive thing that's coming out of this coronavirus is we're able to sort of shift a little bit and kind of provide essentially like a new service, this remote service that we kind of built. You know, we kind of had to build some infrastructure out and kind of how to manage and all that stuff. So we're looking forward to being able to do that.
I mean, nothing like a pandemic to challenge your thinking, right? I mean,
right. We're all challenged, right? We all have to think of new ways to do things, so.
Well, tell me, I'm curious, what is the biggest thing? You said you were surprised in a good way. So what's the biggest thing that surprised you about working remotely with the students? And then what would you say is the biggest downside to it?
Yeah. So I think for me, the biggest surprise is how a lot of these kids are paying more attention to the coach. So like one of the things I was afraid of, and I think a lot of our owners were too before we did it, is once you do it online, what if the kid just stands up and walks away? You're just like, hey, where'd you go? You know, what happened? You know, and they don't pay attention and you can't, you know, kind of get them to focus. A lot of those things were things that we worried about. But it turns out with the way you do a Zoom conference, I think maybe it's because the coach is facing you or something about it makes the kid pay attention more than we thought they would. So the service has gone much better, much smoother than we thought it would. The negative, though, I think, is we're all missing that social interaction, that social component, that in-person component. For us and for a lot of education companies, I think the summers are kind of freaking us out a little bit, right? We don't know, mostly in the summers for a lot of education companies, we depend on summer camps, right? It used to be that in the summer, a parent would, you know, I'm sure you did the same thing. You send your daughters to a camp somewhere because, hey, now daddy's got to go to work. Somebody's got to watch my kid until from 9 to 3, you know, we can't do that this summer. We don't think. There's a lot of unknowns. And so having an online camp for 6 hours is tough. So I think that's a negative. We did come up with an online version of a camp, but we just sort of don't know how it's going to be used this summer until the summer comes.
Well, and with Zoom, I mean, you mentioned Zoom. I know there's a way to share, you know, documents. You can, but can you share screens? In other words, how are you So you can share screens. Okay. So, because that's what I was wondering is how, when you're teaching coding, it seems like you would need to be able to share the code coach's screen with the student.
Yeah, actually, the students share the screen too. And actually, one of the reasons why we stuck with Zoom is that it's actually pretty powerful in terms of allowing you to not only share the screen, but sort of annotate and draw on the screen. So if you were to share your screen, Josh, I could actually go on there and be like, hey, click this button over here, and I can like highlight it for you. And you could, you know, follow along much easier than me just verbally trying to tell you where to go.
That's fascinating. Okay. I learned something new then about Zoom. I mean, Zoom, I use Zoom too. And I just didn't know that you could, I knew you could share documents. I thought it would make sense to share a screen, but I just didn't know that you could do that.
Sure.
So how many franchises do you have at this point?
Let's see. We are in the mid to upper 40s, I think, somewhere around 45, 46, something like that.
That's fantastic. How did you grow? I mean, you only started franchising what, 2016, 17?
Yeah, 2016, yeah.
And so how did you go about getting the word out on your franchise? I mean, how did you spread the word that you guys were offering franchises and get it? And are you doing it across the country?
Yeah, it is across the country. To be honest, Josh, I'm not the best at marketing that type of stuff. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask that. We actually didn't spend a lot of money on marketing, to be honest. I think we were lucky in that we're in the right space at the right time. And I think there's a lot of parents out there who sort of understood the value of a coding school.
But how did you get it out there? I mean, I know you're not the marketer. I get that. But tell me, like, what did you, because it's to a lot
not
of
much.
People who are starting to franchise, getting it going can take time. Obviously, it depends on the type of franchise that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so forth. But I get the timing of it. That makes good sense because it does seem like it's timely. But it has to be. I mean, how did you even get the word out? I mean, did you do a lot of social media? Did you do digital marketing campaigns? Did you hire a company to come in and do digital media? Or did you guys really just try to kind of get the word out yourselves?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I think a lot of it was fairly organic. You know, I think we might have had an article or two, you know, in Entrepreneur or something like that. We spent a little bit on social marketing. I'm talking about, I don't know, like $500, $1,000, didn't do much.
Wow.
We actually did a franchise portal. And most folks that came in didn't really know what we were even doing. And so
those are like a dime a dozen, in my opinion, right? Where you just get like, let's get 100 leads to try to see if there's even half of one that makes any sense. Yeah,
exactly. So I don't know what it was. It was somehow we eventually got on Google and we were searchable. And I feel like our hit rate was so good. Like once I got on the phone with somebody, I felt like most people were pretty kind of interested and, you know, kind of ready to move on. It wasn't like, I think, what's the franchise rate? Something like, I don't know, you get 1% of your leads to sign up or something like that. I felt like our rate was much higher.
So you were taking the calls.
I was taking the first call, and I would get on the line, and that guy would be like, oh, wait, you're taking the call? So it was kind of weird for a long time, up to our, I don't know, 20th, you know, franchise. I was taking the first call. So, and that's the other thing about us. We're very personal, right? We want to get to know all of our franchisees. So I still would love to take the first call. I mean, it's not practical, but I would love to get to know all of our guys.
Well, and so what was some of your criteria for wading through whether somebody was a good candidate, a bad candidate? Who is the, you know, what's the ideal franchisee that you guys are looking for?
Yeah. So straight up passion. That's what we want to look for. So somebody, you know, typically somebody who has a kid is ideal because they understand what it's like to be in kids' education. But honestly, it's really, you know, you don't really have to be technical. You just have to really want to do it. Typically somebody who is, you know, passionate about the community, getting improvements in the community, kind of community advantages, things like that. But somebody who just really is gung-ho to do it. Because what I found is for our model, it can be very successful if you hustle, if you go out there and you're just like, I'm just going to do it. I got the passion to do it. I'm going to go talk to everybody. Then you get a bunch of parents in. But somebody who just puts in the money and they're just like, hey, I'm just going to open the school, you know, hang the shingles, so to speak. You know, they're much less successful because they're not out there hustling. So that's why we look for the passion in the franchisee. If that's what they have, it's almost like a direct correlation. If you're that passionate, you can make it work.
Well, and we talked a little bit already about it, but tell me maybe in detail, I mean, with the switch to the remote and with COVID-19 that, you know, as we sit here today, states are starting to reopen. We're still in that phase of, you know, everybody's opening at a different pace. We don't know if or when this thing's going to rebound. It looks like it probably will. What's that going to look like? I mean, there's tons of uncertainty everywhere. So it would seem to me you know, I've had on a lot of people with like, you know, fitness franchises and other type of franchises where they've worked on digital type programs and stuff like that. And they've rolled those out to varying degrees, you know, of success. It seems to me that a remote program with coding makes a lot of sense. I mean, like you said, I mean, it may continue. Have you seen with your franchisees a lot of drop off in their customers? Have you seen a lot of the customers being very willing to go remotely, be comfortable with it, and continue on with the services, or a combination thereof?
Yeah, I'd say we're kind of on the luckier side of that. Most of our franchisees have been able to keep most of their clients. So I'd say if I had to take a guess, we'd lost maybe 20%. So it's not like we're in the death knell stages, but we certainly have less revenue than we did before. And I think a lot of that is, you know, sort of the unknown of the online world, but also, you know, this thing is impacting everybody. The economy is tough out there. You know, some folks are getting laid off, so it's just getting harder and harder. So I think even if the model works really well, it's still tough, right? Just the general economy is not doing as well as we all hope.
Well, sure. And what kind of packages are you offering? I mean, for folks, I mean, is it, I know it depends on the age and what you're doing, but is this like is it a monthly subscription that somebody pays and they get X number of clients? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Yeah, monthly subscription. Most of our current programs are either 1 hour or 2 hours per week. We're actually, one of the other things that is a positive coming out of this COVID is we're working on the ability to come up with a sort of pre-made content that folks could use as a supplement to help them. So we've always been anti pre-made content. So when I say pre-made content, I mean like we would record something that kids can, you know.
Oh, make, like just watch. Just watch.
Yeah, just watch. Yeah, we've always hated that because I just feel like, how much can you learn from watching a video, right? But now if we can combine it with having a coach, you know, once or twice a week where they kind of talk to you about what you watched, you know, then it's kind of like a different story. So we're going to start to try to add that as well. But yeah, for the most part, it's 1 or 2 hours a week for our regular programs.
And then are you continuously as the franchisor coming up with new materials, you know, new coding, educational materials and stuff like that, right? I mean, that's part of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's really interesting, man. I could talk hours about this thing, but the way we do it is we do have new materials that we suggest and we say, hey, we found this new platform, we found this new website, that kind of thing. And we suggest to our coaches, hey, give this a shot, you know. But for the most part, for anybody who's listening that's a coder out there, you might understand. For the most part, as a coder, you don't want to go look at somebody else's code. So coders, like if I just gave you some code and said, hey, teach this to a kid, most coders would be like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do my own. And what happens is that brings out the passion of the coach. Now they're teaching what they want to teach, which brings out their passion, which then brings out the kid's passion. So what we do is we say, here's a couple of cool websites you can try if you want, but really do what you want to do, coach. You know, whatever you're most interested in ends up being what you're most passionate about. And therefore, that's what sucks it also out of the kids, right? When the teacher's passionate, you know, the student is also passionate.
Well, if you want to learn more about The Coder School, go to thecoderschool.com/franchising if you want to learn about the franchising arm. You can also find them on Facebook. You can find them at The Coder School USA on Instagram. Thank you, Hansel, for coming on. I mean, this has been a joy talking to you. I can tell you're real passionate about what you're doing. You're off to a great start. Obviously, it's so timely. And anytime you have a kids educational type offering, you know, I'm always intrigued by that. And especially when you tie in technology, you know, I think that's intriguing to a whole lot of people. So it sounds like you're off to a great start and you got a real bright future ahead of you.
Thanks, man. Hey, appreciate it. And thank you again so much for having me on. It was fun chatting with you, Josh. Great to meet you.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.